Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down the top five things we're thankful for in soaps in 2014. Our yearly podcast is always one we thoroughly enjoy, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hey, I'm playing spades.
I'm sure you are.
But don't call me that, because I call out Sharpton.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What's up?
Mike, welcome.
Hello.
And Sarah Babel, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Well, we're counting down the top five things we're thankful for in soaps and daytime in 2014. Sarah, as the newest member of the DC podcast, let's have you go first this year. What is your number five?
My number five, I'm going to go with the returns of Phyllis, the characters of Phyllis and Adam to The Young and the Restless. The show really needed a shot in the arm. It had been stagnant, and YNR has made some questionable casting decisions over the past couple of years. This time they got them both right. I'm going quick. You know, I'm basing this on 3 days of Justin Hartley, but I thought he's been wonderful in the role. And I'm just excited that the show has some people who can create drama again, which I think it's sorely, sorely needed. And the stories can move forward. And it needed some real villainous type characters with shades of gray in them. And it finally has them.
Shades of Gray Gardens, if you watch this week, because he's in there with two kookies in an ugly house.
Mike?
Yes.
Who do you have at number five?
My number five is platonic friendships that have kind of developed. Whether they be frenemies or friends or enemies, watching Teresa and Anne, their thing on Days is one of my favorite things. I love Nina and Franco, that they have this great chemistry and dynamic together, that they're not romantically involved. I see potential with Nikki Newman and Stitch's mother. She needs to have another friend other than her bottle of Tsarina Imperial Vodka, which, by the way, I love that name. So my number five is platonic friendships that are just fun and have a little comedy, and sometimes they can be devious like Franco and Nina. So that's what I'm enjoying.
Ugh, I don't want my Nikki with that scallywag.
I think
Jillian,
that vagabond. My number five is Michelle Stafford coming to General Hospital. She has literally breathed new life into Silas and especially Franco, because he just needed to go. Franco was just, he had to get got really soon. And by GH pairing her up with Franco, they have become a really good, gruesome, twosome, like pal type thing, you know? And she, you just can't help but root for her. I mean, we know Nino is a sociopath, but I'm like, oh, let her get one over on that bitch, Kiki. Well, no, Lauren, because she humps two brothers, Lauren. You know, and you know you're doing a good job when I'm just like, damn, she is going up against Ava. But damn, I love Ava too. Like, I love it. I love the fact that Michelle Stafford is over at GH, and she is just having a damn ball over there. So there you have it.
Jamie, number five?
My number five is that no soap operas were canceled on network television in 2014.
That's a good one. Coming in at number five for me is Quinn and Deacon on The Bold and the Beautiful, because, to be quite honest, they're the only thing that makes that show watchable for me. Quinn's antics keep me rolling, and Deacon has always been one of my favorite Bell soap characters. So they are the reason why I still give The Bold and the Beautiful a chance. Sarah, number four.
I also have a Bold and the Beautiful related one right here. I wanted to say that I am thankful for Bold and the Beautiful for keeping daytime glamorous with its multiple location shoots. I can't.
Good.
Jinx! Go ahead, Sarah.
I can't remember a soap doing more international location shoots in a year than Bold. I don't know how they do it. Brad Bell's got the mojo, and we're never going to know his secret, but it looks beautiful. The characters on Bold and the Beautiful seem like rich people. They look like rich people. They go to places that I would like to think the 1% goes. And even if the storylines are kind of similar for all the remotes, when you see these characters on these boats in the middle of the ocean or going through Amsterdam, it just makes it feels aspirational. And I missed that from daytime, and Bold and the Beautiful gave it back to me.
My number four is ABC, particularly General Hospital, stealing all of Soap's bigger guns like Maura West, Michelle Stafford, Billy Miller, and using these people to really revitalize a lot of the show. It's taken me a while to get into General Hospital on and off over the years. And as over the top, as crazy as it can be, it's entertaining and I'm enjoying it. They use their vets. You know, I love my Robin Mattson.
Yes, you do.
And they've been able to take these three characters, the handful of characters that were on One Life to Live with the actors, and change them into completely different characters because of some legal issues, and then integrate them into the cast and use their characters. And I just think they've done a really good job with trying to juggle the enormous amount of people that they have, but stealing away these CBS vets and getting them on their show and using them that's my number four.
ABC only got one show, but okay.
It doesn't matter. They got it.
Yeah. My number four is like Sarah's location shoots via The Bold and the Beautiful. Like, when you watch that show, it just takes you back to the glitz and glamour of the glory days of Soaps when they would go on location shoots. I just feel so like, we're back in that era. And then when I turn over to another show, I won't say which one, I'm just like, y'all on some back lot somewhere. It's so glorious. I love it. I love it. It just makes them look like they have money. Like Brad is just like, we're in the money. What? I just love it. Yeah, I kind of do wish that the others would be on location shoots, but whatever. They're on a location shoot. Shit. Beggars can't be choosers right about now. It just looks so phenomenal. And, you know, even though the storylines can be a little tired, it just takes you there. You're just like, oh, Hope, get with your man, Wyatt. Or, you know, you're just like, Liam, just take Hope and just throw her down somewhere. But, you know, this is Liam and Hope. So but that's my number four.
I want to just piggyback on that. I think that's a really good you and Sarah bringing that up. But I even like the little shots of L.A. around town in between the scenes. That just makes me feel like it's a real place. Well, it is a real place, but you know what I mean? They're using the city and they're integrated into their story, and I like that too.
Yes.
Jamie, number four?
I am so happy at number four that Rosa Parks got up. And well, actually, she did get up. She said, hell no!
My
I'm
feet
sit where I want to sit so that one day we could have Black Erica Canes like Maya on Bold and the Beautiful. and Wayne Brady getting everybody to make a deal and discussing his depression and everything else. And we got Terry Crews. Yes, my number four is about diversity in daytime. One of the things we fought about for so many years. And back when I was a wee colored lad on the farm, I dreamed of a career in daytime. I dreamed of a day when Carla Moseley could steal a white man away from his white woman. I dreamed of a day when Michelle Valjean could write glamorous, glitzy stories on The Bold and the Beautiful. I dreamed of a day when a Hermana like Angelica McDaniel could be the HBIC at CBS. Daytime for vice presidency for soap operas and stuff and game shows and whatnot. And I dreamed of a day when Bruce Evans could tell King Corday how much money he gets to spend on his next set, because y'all know he a brother too. Yes, I am here to stand up and say Daytop is much more diverse than it has ever been. Devon Hillary Neal is the best storyline going on the Young and the Restless. Michael Strahan has everybody getting wet when they watch
it. Well.
I speak for myself. Linda Tovar is, you know, tearing it up, representing the Latinas on General Hospital. I think she's Latina. It could be like that Lizzie Hartley girl if she just got a good tan and keep getting the Mexican roles, but I believe she really is. Vanessa Antoine over there at GH. Steve Harvey is killing. Katie Couric got 75 journalism degrees, and Steve Harvey is the one who could make it in daytime. I'm happy, and we need to celebrate that and stop complaining all the time. Yeah, it's still not perfect, but it's way better than it used to be when all we had was Lexi as the dutiful doctor on days, who was everybody's, you know, veterinarian, egg doctor, and everything else. So, very happy with the amount of diversity in daytime. So that's my number four.
Child, you dreamed of a day when Black Jason couldn't shoot or do anything right.
He stopped on TV One because then he bit somebody's arm off and it was really funny on Fright Night Files. So maybe that's the thing. He doesn't need a gun. He just needs to bite Heather Webb on her neck.
Coming in at number four for me is Jen Lilly and Teresa Donovan. Because when you compare the atrocity that was her as Maxie on General Hospital, I never, ever thought that I would be able to watch her and enjoy Jen Lilly in a scene. And then she went to Days of Our Lives. At first, I didn't warm up to her. But these last 6 to 9 months, she has really come into things as Teresa. And I've enjoyed her. I mean, and now with Sammy gone, I got to have a little she-devil somewhere, so we'll hope that she steps up. Sarah, number three.
I also have a Days of Our Lives related number three, but mine is Sammy and Kate's frenemy relationship, which drove two of my favorite storylines of this past year, which was the everybody covering up, throwing Nick in the lake and assuming that they killed him, which was all about Sammy and Kate throwing, you know, and getting poor, stupid Gabby in line with how to cover up a crime because they know how stupid to get Gabby that done. They set aside everything. They were funny. They were smart. The storyline had a great payoff when Nick returned from the dead and started screwing with all of them systematically. And then their second storyline was when they took over Demira together, which to me was the best part of the lead up to Sammy's departure. That was so much fun. I loved all the little touches, like the portrait of the two of them together as the power couple that they are. I loved that they could team up together to kick butt and yet they still sort of hated each other. I loved that they called each other out on everything. I loved that they have multiple sexual partners in common. I really do wish there had been a scene of them comparing the merits of said sexual partners over some margaritas, but you can't have everything. And I just thought they were the best part of Allison Sweeney's final year on Days of Our Lives. And I hope there's more fun female prickly friendships like that in the upcoming year.
Jillian?
That was good. I would have liked to see Sammy be like, ooh, girl, you know when EJ does that trick? Or, child, Rafe and his bad back self. Like, I would have liked a little scene or something like that. That would have been cool. My number three is Daytime in Prime Time. And when I mean that, I mean, I know some people don't like these shows, but suck it. It's giving daytime publicity. And that is, when I mean Daytime and Primetime, I mean with Eileen and Lisa Rinna being on The Real Housewives. I mean, yes, it's The Real Housewives, but come on. They're plugging, Days is getting hella publicity and none of those bitches are on that show, you know? Wyatt Oz, like, she's actually on Oz. And Days is like, we ain't got none of them on our show, so we getting hella coverage. So I just love the fact that it's sort of kind of going back to the old days where daytime used to get primetime coverage. Even though it is on a reality show, we're still going to get new, hopefully we'll get newer eyeballs to tune in for them to be like, oh, so who are these chicks again? For them to tune in and be like, oh, they're on this show. Okay, this is kind of cool. I mean, you know, they got some girl playing a R. Kelly spoof trapped in a closet having a baby, but okay. I like it. I know some people don't like The Real Housewives, but suck it. I mean, Andy Cohen is like a huge soap fan. I'm like, you know he is going to plug those bitches. And, of course, it's all going to be all about, do you know Susan Lucci? You don't know Susan Lucci? You know how Andy do. So, I like it.
Jamie?
My number three is Crazy Bitches Driving Story all throughout daytime television. It was the year of the crazy super bitch. I mean, from Heather Weber's returns to Helena coming back from the dead yet again on GH to Ava versus Nina to Days of Our Lives where Kristen Blake DeMira was pulling Riley-esque stunts all year long. It was just the year of the crazy super bitch. Gina Tognoni recreated the role of Phyllis, who immediately hitchhiked across the country with a brain injury and found some couture in time to bust up a wedding. That was the best, soapiest moment. I saw a lot of critics slam that, and I'm like, that was the best part of Y&R all year. I mean, who cares about it being implausible? It's like, it was entertaining. People need to remember, at the end of the day, entertaining is the first rule of the day. So, really enjoyed that. And I think it's really on brand. Characters like that, characters like Quinn from Bold and the Beautiful, they're really on brand with what we're seeing in primetime with the Shonda Rhimes shows. You know, big, ballsy, brassy women. Yes, not all of them are sociopaths. But, you know, they're big personalities, even on The Good Wife, which is definitely not about sociopaths. You have women dealing with high-stakes issues. You know, Sammy's battling or worried about, you know, Stefano's mob influences on days. You know, when they took over the company, there was all that fear of, you know, will they rub the DeMira allies the wrong way? And you go to The Good Wife, Kalinda's worried about if the big black mobster on there is going to snatch her up, especially since the actress is leaving. I mean, it's really cool to see those type of characterizations. We went through this long period of the domestication of the soap opera woman. I mean, remember when Sammy's sick storyline was sitting around with all those boring children and Rafe in a terrible apartment? You know, I'm so glad to see women taking over companies again. And, you know, even Dr. Obrecht running GH, it's like, I hated that development. I did not want that. It did not make sense to me. Then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, Jamie, you had no problem with Peter becoming chief of staff on Melrose Place after he tried to kill Amanda Woodward. So you just go with it. And it's been funny. She's helping to cement Billy Miller as new Jason. I really like big, brassy, ballsy bitches running amok in daytime. And that is definitely on camera.
That would be a lot of fun if they were doing it off camera, too.
Well.
Coming in at number three for me is The Wombat is Dead on General Hospital, and Maxie gets her spunk back.
She got a bunch of spunk, two boys.
Yeah, she just hasn't gotten enough of it from Nathan, though, apparently.
What is a wombat? I know what a wombat is, but I don't know what a wombat
is.
I
was meaning spunk in a dirty way, but it just went over Luke's head. Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the wombat is dead. Keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, one of the worst contrivances that we could have endured on General Hospital this last year, which can have a knack for contrivances. Some of them work, some of them that don't. This one, at least in my mind, failed spectacularly. So when Maxie finally was free of him and started to be herself again, she's still recovering. It's like she has a hangover from that storyline, but she's recovering. I'm glad she's recovering. Now I just need to see her fully return to normal and go on from there. Sarah, who do you have at number two?
I have at number two the trend of daytime television finally bringing the sexy back, growing up, and reflecting contemporary 2014 human sexuality. I'm talking about Quinn and Deacon being overtly kinky. I mean, that scene when she was started talking about that little house in the valley with the basement sex dungeon and what's your safe word? I was like, okay. That, you know, that could have been on a Shonda Rhimes show. And the same thing with the gay characters on General Hospital. After years of gay storylines being about gay teen virgins slowly coming out of the closet and then taking another 3 years to kiss somebody, it's really refreshing to have three out and proud gay men contemplating whether or not they should have a three-way. That and then yes! when it ended up that Felix was not ready for that, which is a completely acceptable choice. But Brad and Lucas got to have the type of sex scenes that were on par with daytime heterosexual characters. And this is a trend also on primetime, like How to Get Away with Murder. Oh my God. You know, that's probably really groundbreaking for primetime. And finally, soaps are back to what they used to be. Because when I was a kid, soaps were the things you snuck because your mom might not like you seeing all that sex. And now we're back to, and then they went through this long prudish phase, and I'm glad that they're back to pushing the envelope again. It keeps bring the love back to the afternoon, or the lust.
Mike,
my logic here is that I went off on Sharon's storyline last week. I have to give props to Sharon Case. So my number three is Sharon Case for taking the crap that they've been giving her and going out there every day and making me feel like, I don't think they're writing it this way, but I feel like Sharon, despite what she's done, she's still the sympathetic character of all the people that are dumping on her. And I've watched plenty of actors over the years who are not invested in their storyline, and it shows. And Sharon Case goes out there and throws it in, and I am never disappointed when I watch her. So I just have to give her props on my top five.
Jillian, number two?
Well, my number two is sort of like Jamie's. It's the year of the divas. Not only the crazy bitches, but chicks in general. I mean, you have on General Hospital, you have one of the baddest bitches on there, Maura West. I love the fact that Ava is just running nothing but games. She got more games than Parker Brothers, baby. She is just running that town. I love the fact that she just is pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, and she is just coming out flawless. Although Nina does have a baby, but whatevs. And she does have that slowful daughter, Lauren. I mean, whatever. Anyways, I just love that she is just flawless with that. I love Mina coming into town, wrecking shop, pulling the wool over Silas, although that ain't hard to do. But I just love it. Over at The Bold and the Beautiful, you have Brooke, who is just like, you know, I got a little love-hate relationship with Brooke going on. I love me some Brooke, but I don't love how she did my girl, Katie, but I won't get into that because I will get mad. And you hush your face, Jamie Giddens, so I know you're about to say something slick.
I'm not thinking about that, LaFranca.
You hush your face! You hush your face! Go play some space, you bitch, you!
You see somebody standing in your own backyard.
Shut up! Shut
your man. So Pebble and Pebble sang a song about it.
Shut up. And Pebbles also need to pay them TLC girl bitches something instead of giving them little ass
round. Look, TLC is my favorite group. Pebble said, learn how to read a contract, bitch.
But, you know, I love the fact that Brooke finally, like, you know, she just had a moment where she just told Rich, look at him, bitch, and just told him off and went guns blazing for her kids. I love that. I love the fact that Katie stood up to her sister and was like, you know, this may be your destiny, but his destination is my bedroom now, bitch. And what? Love it! Over, I just love it. I love the fact that Sammy and Kate, oh my God, their team up, Sarah summed it up so flawlessly. Their team up was so epic. They were taking the young and stupid grasshopper known as Gabby. I don't feel sorry for her. Poor Gabby. Sorry, Sarah, that big dummy. They tried to tell her about Nick, but she was too stupid. I love that they took her under her wing and was like, look, bitch, let me show you how the divas do things. And then they teamed up again to take the Damaras down. It was beautiful. And for Sammy to tell Marlena, look, bitch, and told her mama off about not supporting her, it was fantastic. And then over at Y&R, I just love Hillary just tapping into her inner goddess. And it's just like, look, I'm going to get my man and I'm going to get his daddy too. And what? I'm sorry. I mean, I love that she was not backing down with Lily. She was like, look, I'm not tired of apologizing to your slow full ass. Anybody want your man that's donkey named Kane? I like my FICO score just the way it is with his old social security stealing ass. I love it. It was the year of the divas. Like, the women were just kicking ass and just taking names later. I mean, you know, this is a women's genre. You would think that they would have it catered to more women, but for a while they didn't, and now they are, so I'm loving it.
Wrap it up, lady. Wrap it up.
Well, I'm done now.
Mike, number two?
Mine goes to the soaps using their generations. They've been better at it, particularly noticeable on days where they have the youngest characters like Sierra and Johnny and Allie, and how they've developed their characters. Nothing gives me more pleasure than when Sierra is acting her brattiest. And you can take that right up through, you know, the younger characters like JJ, who's so integrated with his dad's past, and going into like Will and Marlena's relationship, basically being able to watch days and using all their generations. And, you know, of course the best part is when they come together and decorate the tree. So I just like to have the generations on the shows, and that's one thing I'm thankful for. That's what we watch them for.
That's going to be a Charlie Brown tree this year.
Coming in at number two for me is something that was touched on earlier. Basically, it is that General Hospital is clobbering the young and the restless in the casting wars. I am so happy for General Hospital with Maura West, Michelle Stafford, bringing in Billy Miller. We have Donna Mills. I mean, when General Hospital casts a character, the character is not wasted. They bring him in, they provide good stories for him, and they get talented people. When The Young and the Restless scores someone, if they get someone talented, they almost always waste them. Or if they try and promote someone who isn't a great actor as the next big thing or this big casting coup. And it's never the case. So for me, I am very happy that General Hospital is clobbering The Young and the Restless in the casting war. Mm-hmm. Jamie, who do you have at number two?
My number two is that the Daytime Emmys, after their most shitrageous year ever last year, are poised, like, depends. No, they are poised, hopefully, for a redemption. I'm saying hopefully with my two quotey fingers on each side up in the air, because I'm hoping, but, you know, they're giving a lot of interviews. They realize that they can't just get sluts off the internet and send them free like jaguars from the zoo down the streets of Los Angeles, you know, while they rub meat all over Ryan Pavey's face and just send them in there like hot, horny panther cats. They realize that that is not how you produce a red carpet. They've added some new approaches, acting categories for the web series. That, you know, there's a guest star category. They're moving them up to April so people won't be sweating their balls off like Kim Zimmer and P-Pac on the red carpet. So far, I'm optimistic that this year will be good and hopefully will be televised.
Sarah,
I want to rape you.
Sarah, what is your number one thing you are most thankful for in 2014 with soaps?
I am so grateful that Daytime has gotten over its ageism. For years, we dealt with these veteran characters who were the most talented actors on the show being pushed off to the sidelines for the sin of being over 40. Well, let me tell you something. When I was a little kid and started watching soaps, it was Erica Kane and Dorian Lord and Nicky Newman that got me hooked on daytime, not the whack-ass teens who were just completely boring and unrealistic.
Well.
And so I was thrilled that this year, look at the way Nancy Legrand, Alexis Davis used to be written as like this sad sack you can't get a man. Now she is having red hot sex scenes with
titties
Julian.
Pretty boy, titties be sitting pretty, child.
You know, Eileen Davidson is the indisputed queen of daytime this year. She doing two shows, and we've got the past few absolutely riveting weeks of General Hospital have been driven by Ava and Nina and Anna and all of these women that are have enough life experience to be interesting, to be multifaceted characters, to have a rich history of the show, and to have just experienced actors and actresses who know how to make daytime television great. And I'm so glad that they finally realized putting teens front and center isn't going to get young people to tune in, that having interesting storylines gets people of all ages to tune in. And let's face facts, the majority of daytime viewers are in the 25 to 54 demographic. They're not 13 years old, and they want to see characters that reflect them getting it on, kicking butt, and be running the show. And daytime figured that out this year.
Jillian?
You said chicken butt. Girl, you just testified right there. My number one, it's I think I'm just going to put a check mark next to it like Mel used to do. And that is social media. Soap people being on social media. Because when you cut the fool on social media, not only does it give us great hits, but it gives me a good-ass chuckle. And I love it. You need to keep doing it. Like when Ron Ho checked the hell out of what's his name now, Sean Kanan on Twitter, but they cool now, but still, that was good shit. I'm like, I'm telling y'all, like, he has got to be like the tamer soap, like daytime version of Kurt Sutter. Like, I've been praying someone channels Kurt Sutter, but can nobody channel Kurt Sutter better than Kurt Sutter? I love it. I love it, love it, love it. When you go and act ham on social media, it just makes everything so delish. So keep doing what you do. Publicists be damned.
Mike?
It's going to be the trifecta of writers at Days. Lorraine Broderick, Chris Whitesell, and Gary Tomlin. They have taken a show that over the years I have never, ever been able to get into and never liked, and they have turned it into my must-watch. So
I'm listening to this after last week's podcast.
I was like, Lord, I was – where were you?
My opinion is outnumbered.
Let me tell you, we had sweet little Sarah Mabel on here. We were going to have a nice little conversation about Day of Days, and somebody out here just decided to announce that the Days of Our Lives was the worst shit he'd ever seen in the world.
I did not say that.
I can't watch Days every day. I have to have a few episodes to watch. They've been able to take dream sequences and make me believe that they're real episodes. And it just what Sarah touched on with the storylines with Nick and Sammy and Kate, and it just EJ and Abigail's affair was smoking hot. And yeah, they have some things, but there are things I have just found to be so enjoyable. And it is the soap that I hold all the other ones too, which is sometimes not a good thing. But so my number one is definitely I am thankful for Days of Our Lives.
It's going to be interesting when it comes time for the best and worst podcast at the end of the year to see where you and I stand.
Well, I didn't know about your little Days Fest.
It was supposed to be Sarah Mabel reports from the Day of Days. And Luke just...
Yeah.
Listen. And I stand by it. Now, I'm maybe outnumbered. My co-hosts do not agree with me. But no, I still say that
shit it all over Days. He was
other than the A storyline and sometimes the B storyline, Days of Our Lives has a lot of fundamental problems.
I'm saying you didn't have a right to your opinion. Somebody came in the comments, of course, and said I was talking over. This time I was talking over because I was trying to get us back on topic, which was Sarah Mabel reports from Day of Days. It was not meant to be a State of Days, but it turned out well. And a lot of people do agree with Luke. You know, a lot of people also think that Ken Cornette has James and Allie in a basement locked.
Those two groups aren't necessarily the same people, James.
I mean, Ken,
you're implying they are.
People think Ken has a cat on his lap and he's going to I will stop your happiness while he pets the cat, but okay. Just saying.
Yeah, that's just what we all need to imagine. Ken is a petting pussy.
Whoa!
It would probably be a sock puppet because they can't cat!
Mike, or Jamie, who do you have at number one, or what?
Oh, shit. My number one is Game of wrong list! That's for the next show. My number one is Eileen Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said. It ties into everything, you know. The woman is knock, knock, knocking on 60's door, and she's the most in-demand actress in daytime, and now she's going to be a real housewife of Orlando County, or wherever she's going to be.
Damn, she ain't knocking on 60. Don't be telling nobody my age.
Beverly Hills.
How old is she?
She ain't all that old, but shit.
I'm not saying she's all that old, but she is knocking. She's 55. That's
a 60.
And in the days of Brian Franz and Barbara Bloom, she'd be somewhere with her head tied up in a kerchief going, there, sweetie. So I just love that Eileen is wrecking shop all over everywhere. I hope that she gets those books she wrote a couple of years ago turned into a series and just milks this for everything it's worth. And, you know, if she's willing to put her personal life out there and use it to, you know, have to cut a bitch, she likes it, I love it. You know, a lot of people on my Facebook page are doing this whole, I just can't believe she's lowering herself to do this. She acted out a scene where she molested a member of the cloth. You know, it's all acting. Let's just be real. It's all acting. I was watching those Kardashians the other day because I was packing, and I saw that we talk about The Bold and the Beautiful having a repetitive dialogue and storyline. I've been watching those Kardashians. Yeah, I admit it. I have a love-hate relationship. I love the show, but I hate the people. But the characters I like. I was watching the one where they're in the Hamptons. Here's Courtney. I just can't believe Scott doesn't accept my boundaries, and I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Three babies later, she's still talking about him being a drunk, and she's not going to put up with it. You put up with it every night, and you put up with it without latex. So even in reality soaps, there's a lot of repetition. So Eileen is like, if you can't beat them, join them. She jumped on that bandwagon, and I hope she milks it to forever, because it does tick me off that our Eileens and our Allisons and our Michelles are only known pretty much in our world. Unless they have a baby, then people will write about them. But you look out there, and that little Teresa Giudice, she's got a cookbook, she's got a this, she's got a that.
And she also got 10 to 20, shit.
So, but the rest of them, that's because she's just an idiot, and her husband too. But, you know, they get spinoffs, and that little Bethany, I still don't know why she's famous, because she doesn't eat? Please, you know, I mean, I am happy. And I hope Eileen gets 75 deals, and I hope that she uses it to promote the heck out of daytime. So there you go. Number one for me, Eileen Davidson.
Coming in at number one for me is 20-plus years of Sammy Brady and Allison Sweeney on Days of Our Lives. She was the first bitch that I got hooked on in soaps, and having watched her over the years, or read the recaps when I didn't have TV when I was away at school, Sammy was always a thing for me growing up on when it came to Days of Our Lives. I followed everything that went on with her and Lucas, her slap with Carrie slapping her. It was always so much fun. Now,
Carrie
granted,
punched her. That wasn't no slap. She punched her like a man.
In more recent years, I mean, I do admit that there have been low points when she became, as Jamie alluded to earlier, more of a happy housewife with the children. But Sammy Brady has been a character that will be sorely missed on Days of Our Lives. And it's one of those characters that I would almost say they should never recast. So for me, Allison Sweeney, Sammy Brady, over 20 years of memories is my number one. Does anybody have any honorable mentions or dishonorable mentions?
I do. Mel had a couple of things. Jamie, did you have that email?
Yes. Melody said, keep smiling, keep smiling. No, and you can always count what she said. Was that she wants to mention how thankful she is for DC and the readers and the vets driving story on GH. So that is from our Melly.
Well, you guys know this and some of you don't, but I'm grateful to Daytime Confidential because I met my partner through Daytime Confidential. So I started doing this quite a long time ago and slowly increased conversation up to a point where I met someone and now we are living together. So I say thank you, DC.
I think that Match.com charges what, $19.95 a month? Luke and I want our money.
Go ahead, Mike. Shit, I only met people who are like, oh, I never met nobody. Shit. Damn, Mike.
We've all met him. Mike just met the old. Well, I won't say the old. We have a lot of sane fans, but I think Luke got hit up one time. we tend to get the quacks, the people who want to lather our butts
Mike's
with
legit.
Grease.
We talk and watch soaps together, and it's like
awesome.
It's great. So I thank DC.
At some point, we'll have to have him on the podcast.
Yes, he would love it.
You're like Charlotte York. I've been doing this for 7 years. Where are you seeing?
Yeah, shit. My dishonorable mention is not me meeting somebody. It's me not meeting someone on here.
Although we were when I was in New York visiting her, we were having drinks and, you know, there was all these flirty fans and stuff. She's like, what's up with that? Why? And I said, let's see. Who is our fan base?
Child, no, but then Jamie met some heifer who suck at him. I'm a Denise Fassi fan, and then just like sucker, that's good for your ass.
Favorite. Oh my gosh, she knows. Oh, you know, I'm sitting here doing my
Jamie all tossing his hair like some diva bitch.
Real, y'all remember Sally Field in Soap Dish when you know when she feels down and she goes out and they let the fans swarm all around her. Whoopi Goldberg, that's my favorite scene. Yeah, I'm feeling like her. Are you Jamie Gittins from Daytime? Why, yes, I am. Would you like an autograph? No, I want you to stop talking about Denise Vassy. I am the president of the Denise Vassy
homeowners. Jillian, she was like, and who are you? I said, nobody. I was like, you ain't coming for me.
Mike, you ended up with a good egg.
I sure did, yes.
He's a big old hunky strapping man, and he's smart too. Isn't he like some kind of scientist or something?
Yes.
I have a dishonorable mention. My dishonorable mention is The Young and the Restless allowing Chuck Pratt to roam the halls. Like, what's wrong with y'all? Like Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? He blackmailing y'all? He got y'all on Stefano's Island? I know that's the sister show, but I gotta ask. He got y'all tied up in the basement with rats? Like Victor? Come on, that's not it wasn't not good, as Tammy would say. I'm paraphrasing that fool.
Well, now, it hadn't that, you know, I can't believe I'm having to say this. He won't start airing his material until the new year, so.
Yeah, I said that too. I said, you know, I'm going to give him a chance, but I'm like, I also tried to give Peace a chance, and shit, I can't keep up with that. So,
I'm waiting. I'm actually. Go ahead, Sarah.
I actually would like to, I am thankful for the Daytime Confidential fans, not because they have found me true romance, but because they got me onto the red carpet at the Daytime Emmys. Because when I got denied, y'all came for Slate PR. Y'all tweeted them so hard that they relented and let me cover the red carpet at Daytime for Daytime Confidential, because they were a little scared of us because we have opinions. And you that guy is a really big publicist who controls a lot of award shows in LA, and y'all made him afraid. So thank you for welcoming me to the family. Yes. This goes to Jamie and to Luke after my former daytime soap employer, Xfinity, ceased to exist. So I would like to thank both, you know, Jamie, Luke, and Jillian, and Mike, and everyone for welcoming me, and the Daytime Confidential fans for just rough and hard. I felt like I had my own Twitter army, like I was a Kardashian or something, the way you guys were going after this hapless publicist from Slate PR who was like, who are these people? Why are they tormenting me? Okay.
Sarah, we want to thank you for coming on board, because after doing this for a while, you do kind of feel like, well, we've said everything that could be said about everything. So it is really refreshing to hear a fresh voice. And I promise we're going to let you use that voice more in 2015, because we're a rowdy bunch and we can get to talking over each other. I know I'm guilty. Go ahead and write in the comments about me. But Sarah, we recognize talent when we see it, and we're glad you're here to join in and scream about soaps with the rest of us.
I've always liked your stuff, so it's great to be able to chat with you.
Aw, thanks. I love you all.
And now you've actually lived through these podcasts, so you know the magic and the tape and the mystery that Luke has to do to actually make them sound good, because you hear all of the hiccups.
Sarah is La Familia now. And
now, which you do know what that means. If you leave, it's the Pine Barrens.
Once you're in, you're in. Yeah, we gotta kill you to get out. That's just how it is.
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We're almost going to crack 30,000 followers here, hopefully pretty soon. And write us a review on iTunes. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Victoria trapped in the closet!